praise God, hallelujah. I truly want us to study tonight a topic we captioned spring cleaning. And we know that this is a term that is normally applied in climates with cold weather or cold winter. It is the period of time when you set aside some time for cleaning. So, and it's not something you do every day. It refers to a yearly act of cleaning a house from top to bottom. So why should I be talking about spring cleaning spiritually? I want to believe that the only reason why people do spring cleaning is that we very much believe that gradually there's no system that will not accumulate dust, that will not accumulate things that are not wanted. All systems can experience congestion, being clogged. And when it happens, you can take your time to clean it out. I explained to us that we can talk about spiritual spring cleaning. We can talk about physical spring cleaning. We can talk about environmental spring cleaning. But tonight, I want to start with spiritual. But I have to tell you some things that are physical so we could use it to compare with the spiritual. Why did we choose this particular month to do our spring cleaning? It's because in the natural, we're in the period of spring. How many of you know that spring 2018 is from March 20th to June 20th. June 21st will be summer. So we are using the month of May to do our spring cleaning. So now let's get down to the specifics. I've mentioned that all systems can experience what they are not designed to experience. If gradually, as they are collecting dust, dirt, grease, that nobody is cleaning them out, before you know it, it becomes serious. It can happen in human relationships. Unresolved conflicts, unforgiveness, before you realize it, it has filled you with debris of sin. Be that as it may, the first place to start is from the heart. Let somebody read for us Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23.
Proverbs 4:23. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Thank you, my sister. Out of the heart are the issues of life. If you can become very careful with what you allow to come into your heart. If you become very careful not to allow junk in, to keep your heart pure, I can assure you that what will come out of your mouth will also be pure. That when you act, that your actions will still be pure. But when you allow every junk to go into the heart, there's no other way to help you. So for this spring cleaning, there are so many things I want to talk about tonight. But the first one I want to tell us is that we should guard our hearts. Be careful. Guard your heart. Then the question is, how will things enter my heart? I've told you that there are about 5 gates through which things go into your heart. But tonight I don't want to deal with the gates. We talk about the eye gate. There was a funny pastor that said in the Sunday school that his teacher taught him that the first look is not seen, that is the second look. So he decided to take a long first look. There are things you are looking at and you think they are safe, but the way you are looking at them is like a camera that is taking a picture and is going straight into your heart. That's the eye gate. You have the ear gate. There are things you shouldn't listen to that you are listening to. But the truth is, you should be careful to guard your heart jealously. And when you guard your heart, it will affect what comes out of your mouth. I want to tell you that there are Christians whose mouths are filled with garbage. That when they open their mouth and speak, you start wondering, is this person a Christian or not? They've tried to stop, but they can't help themselves. But in this period of spring cleaning, you are going to understand that once you allow Christ to come in and purify the heart, it's going to affect what comes out of the mouth. It starts from the inside. When the heart becomes pure, what comes out of the mouth becomes pure. Let somebody read for us Psalm 141. Read verses 3 and 4.
Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4.
Yes.
Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties.
Thank you. Could you read it again for us, please?
Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties.
Thank you. I want to believe it was David praying. David was asking God, please set a guard over my mouth. Please watch my mouth. But can I tell you, the secret of your mouth comes from your heart. The word of God says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There are some of us, we still hold on to the outward appearance of Christianity, the outward appearance of religion. People looking at you think you are clean, the way you dress, the way you carry yourself. But you know that inside your heart is polluted. And as long as you leave that filth in the inside of you, there's no way it will not begin to come out of your mouth. I want to tell us, there was something we read this morning, and I told you that the Israelites did not get up one morning and say, no, we're no longer going to worship God. What happened was that they started by being disobedient. God said, when I take you, when I give you a nation, clear it, clean it out, remove the people dwelling in it, occupy, take over. But they felt they could keep the natives of the land and just mingle with them and, yes, stand out. It did not work. After some time, they realized they had gone too far with them. They intermarried with them. They started behaving like them. And before you knew it, they were worshiping their God. The same thing when you come to spring. If we agree that spring cleaning is what you do once in a year, it means that within 1 year, you've accumulated all sorts of dust, accumulated all sorts of dirt, and you are now thinking of purging it or washing it. And I want to say that that decay is a gradual process. I want us to read Proverbs chapter 24. Somebody read from verse 30 to 34. Decay is a gradual process. Proverbs 24 from 30 to 34.
I went by the field. Go ahead, Sister Lee.
Go ahead.
I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instructions. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man.
Praise God. I passed through the walls of this sluggard. I realized that the walls had broken down. I realized that his farm was covered with weeds. Believe it or not, it did not happen overnight. Solomon said, I washed it properly and I learned a lesson. And what did I learn? I learned that a little sleep there, a little sleep here, cost that. A little carelessness here, a little procrastination here, cost that. A little carelessness here, a little dropping off from my prayer time led to that. A little renaming the scene, a little not taking things seriously led to that. If you don't mind, could you read it again? Read it for us again gradually. Sister Sola, are you still there? Proverbs 24, read it for us again, 30 to 34.
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Yeah.
I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man.
Thank you. I don't know who is on the line tonight, what we are studying today is that the build-up you are supposed to clean did not happen in a day. It came upon you gradually. Gradually, you got yourself where you are today. And spiritually, we're believing God that in this month of May, that we're going to clean up. That the inside is going to get cleaned. That there will be spring-like freshness in the inside of us. And for those of you who are not sensitive any longer, you are asking yourself, what is that woman talking about? Did I tell her there's junk in the inside of me? I know what I'm doing. I'm clean inside and outside. I may ask you to pray the prayer of David. David was the one who asked God, let the Holy Ghost search me. Look inside of me. See those things that are not right. Are there things that I need to be purged off? That could be the prayers we are going to do tonight. We are going to ask him to look in the inside of us. Let's begin to find what the issues are. Let's stop thinking that everything is okay. Can we read Psalm 139, 23 and
24? Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Praise God. David prayed that prayer. And in this month of spring cleaning, we are going to pray that same prayer. We are going to ask God to search us. We are going to ask the Holy Ghost to do some work in the inside of us. To open our eyes to see who we are. To see if there are debts that we've accumulated in the inside. That we need to be cleaned out. That's what I'm referring to, the spiritual spring cleaning. When we actually surrender completely to him and allow him to do the work in the inside of us. And that takes me back to the illustration I gave you this morning when we were talking about Saul and the servant. And I made it clear to you that Saul had to listen to the servant his father gave him. That was the only time he recognized that there were things they were supposed to do. They should have done long before then. Going to the seer who told them where the donkeys were. And I want to encourage us tonight. There's nothing wrong in going to the Holy Spirit. Asking him to search us. To let us see the inside of us. To know if there are things that shouldn't be there. So that in this time of spring cleaning, we'll be purged and washed. And I want to believe that's why the Holy Ghost is here. In John chapter 16, 7 and 8, those scriptures were given to us by Jesus himself. Can somebody read John 16, 7 and 8? John 16, 7 and 8.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, the Comforter will come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment.
Thank you. I want to tell you that it's the Holy Spirit in you that will reprove you. He will make you understand the things that you are doing that are not right. Let me tell you, a Christian was going with his friend. They were going hunting. And one turned and told the other, listen, I actually feel for you Christians. You are so sensitive. Every small thing you are worried. I do worse things. I don't even feel it. I'm happy. I'm this. I'm that. At that point, that man didn't even know what to respond. But when they finished hunting that day, and somehow they got a game, they killed an animal. And then his eyes opened and he told his friend, listen, even if you take this whole building and place on this animal that we've killed, will it feel it? He said, no. That's exactly the answer to your question. Why I feel that? I feel sensitive. Why every sin will touch me is because spiritually I'm alive. And I want to tell you tonight, if you've gotten to a point where you don't feel anything when you sin against God, where you can lie and you just give it a name, I only stretch the truth, where you can do horrible things and you flip it around and call it something and keep going, there's a problem. It's because of you we're doing this spring cleaning. If you've come to a point where your conscience does not prick you when you do anything wrong, it's because of you we're having this spring cleaning. When I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of Trinity. He is very, very sensitive. His name is Holy. And if you are not holy, he will leave. And if the Holy Ghost has left you, you are now dry. You are now insensitive to spiritual things. Come to the line every morning. Shout hallelujah with us. It will not touch you. You need to go back to the basics. Tonight I'm going to give you 3 steps that you will take if you truly want to do your spiritual spring cleaning. I want to tell you that it is possible for you to once more become sensitive to spiritual things. I want to tell you that it is possible for you to get back to where you were or where God wants you. Somebody said that the only thing that is constant in life is change. And I want to believe that every one of us on this line can still change. God forbid that we will go through the month of spring cleaning and still there will be some junk left somewhere in the inside of us. We want the Holy Spirit to search us. We want to pray the prayer of David, Psalm 139, 23 and 24, asking him to search us. We want him to show us what is in this side of us. And then we will take the steps we need to take to remove all the junk, all the clutter that are in the inside of us that should not be there. I've just said that the only thing that is constant is change. And I'm believing God that this is one of the lessons that can lead us to change. So number one step of the 3 I want to talk about is that the time of spring cleaning is a time of reflection. It's a time of reflection. It's a time you could sit down and look through your life and ask yourself, is everything okay? Shouldn't I be doing better than I'm doing? You may not even need to reflect on the past year. You could just reflect on the past 4 months. And ask God to show you the areas of sin and weakness. Ask Him to show you the areas, things that have hindered your spiritual growth. It's a time of reflection. And if actually you want to sit down and look into yourself, it will be a good opportunity to pray that prayer. Psalm 139. 23 and 24. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's the first step to your spiritual spring cleaning. It's one thing to ask God to show you, and it's another thing to listen. The second step will be for you to listen. And when I talk about listening, I'm talking about listening to the word of God that is coming to you. On this tribe, we hear the word every morning. And when you begin to explain things away as the word of God is coming, you know that's a serious problem. When you begin to give things name to make them sound better and not sound as sin, you are not yet ready for your spring cleaning. When you are ready, you'll be able to listen. You listen with open mind. You listen to hear what God is saying in the now. You listen to know what God is saying about your situation. There's no situation you have that God will not show you. If you are confused, He will help you to understand. He will make it clear for you. You have to listen. The problem we have is that most of us, we don't have listening skills. We don't listen. Even when somebody is talking to you, you don't hear them. You are busy planning the answer to give so that you will look good. There's a reason why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Maybe it's because He wants us to listen more than we speak. Do you know that? Even in your prayer life, there are times it's necessary to listen to God more than you talk to God. Unless you think you have more to tell Him than He has to tell you. A very important step to your spring cleaning is for you to develop the listening skills to be able to hear God, to know what He's telling you. Then that will take me to the last step, which is obedience. That when God speaks, we should obey Him. Some people are still asking God some questions. But can I tell you, He will not tell you anything until you've obeyed the last one He told you. God may not show you another thing until you have obeyed the last one that He showed you. And in the time of spring cleaning, the first step in obedience could be repentance. A very powerful scripture we use for repentance is in 1 John 1:9, where it says if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And to cleanse us from all wickedness. I know some people came late tonight. I think the lesson we are learning tonight is so simple that even a child will understand it. We are talking about spring cleaning. I started by telling you the meaning of spring cleaning. That is something people do at least once a year. That it is different from the normal cleaning you do. It's something you take out time and do an all-out cleaning. And you clean from top to bottom. And that there are so many aspects of it. But what we want to talk about is the spiritual. Then I went ahead to tell you that when you are thinking of spiritual spring cleaning, that the first port of call where everything hinges is in the heart. That was when we read Proverbs 4:23, that you are to guard our hearts jealously. And from there I told you that some of us, our mouths are also filthy. The heart is filthy, the mouth is filthy. But I'm telling you that they are related. That is what is in the heart that comes out of the mouth. You cannot even treat the mouth without treating the heart. If you realize that you open your mouth, you say things that offend people. You open your mouth, you say things that don't give God glory. You are still a Christian and you curse. There are certain things you say you shouldn't be saying. What I'm telling you tonight is that it's not from the mouth, it's from the heart. And when the heart, when you've taken care of the heart, it will take care of the mouth. From there, I told you that this type of decay, that they don't just come down on you, that they happen gradually. We read Proverbs 24:30-34, that was talking about the farm of the sluggard who was sleeping, who was careless, and everything took over the whole place. And I was telling you that decay is a gradual process. I don't know where you are in your life, but wherever you are in your life, if you've been careless, this is the time. This is the opportunity that God has given us to come so that he will wash us through, wash us clean. Then I went ahead to tell you that David made some special prayers, which I would like all of us to also make, that David prayed that God will search his heart, search him out, show him all the things he's doing that are not giving glory to God. We looked at it, and I told you, who does the searching? It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. We read John 16:7-8, and I had to explain to you that those words came from Jesus himself. He said he will send the Holy Ghost, who will actually show us who we are. And I took time to explain to you that the Holy Spirit is actually holy, and when we are not living a holy life, he will leave us. So don't think that you are not feeling anything is because you are doing right. You are not feeling anything, maybe because you've so hurt the Holy Ghost that he decided to leave you. But if the Holy Spirit is alive in you, he will open you up to see where you are. Then I told you that change is the only thing that is permanent. If you find yourself, you are not as spiritual, or you are not at the point God wants you to be, that there is still hope for you. He can change you. He can change you even from tonight. He can do a work in your spirit. Then I gave you 3 points. Number one, that in the month of spring cleaning, try and do a reflection. Sit down and look into your life. Ask yourself, am I doing well? Could I do better than this? Are there areas that I've been fluttering? What is going on? Do I have a prayer life? Do I study the word? Do I really have time for God? Do I evangelize? Do I tell people about Jesus Christ? Has God really set me apart? Can I look at myself and say I'm growing spiritually? And if the answer to any of those questions is no, I'm telling you, why not begin to listen to God? The Spirit of God will tell you what to do. And when I talked about listening, I mentioned that you listen to the word you hear every day. You listen to the word of God you read. And I'm praying that God will help us to show us how to listen, how to hear him, how to know what he wants us to do at every situation. There are times God will ask us to do things, and they will look seemingly very, very difficult. But if you obey him, you will have results. The word of God makes it clear that hearers only, just being hearers, will not change anybody. That you come into your home and look around, everywhere is dirty. Oh my God, so is this what I have come to? Everywhere, from kitchen to bathroom, everywhere. and you look around and you don't do anything about it, you've not done the spring cleaning. The important thing is to obey God, to know exactly what He wants you to do and begin to do them. And one of the scriptures I want to give you tonight is in James chapter 1, from 22 to 25, where it's condemning just hearing or listening without doing anything. Can somebody read James 1, 22 to 25?
James 1:22. But ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looks unto the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Praise God. So what are we asking God for? We don't want to be hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We want to be doers. He likened to hearers to people who will go to the mirror, look at themselves, see what you should correct, but instead of correcting it, you walk away. When you do that, you didn't help yourself. The Word of God, the Bible, is the mirror. It's showing us ourselves every day. And as we see it, I want to pray that we allow God to do the work in the inside of us, to wash us clean. And we have a part to play. We have our own part to play. You cannot just fold your hands and expect God to do it all. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it's asking us to lay aside. Can somebody read Hebrews 12, 1?
Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Thank you, my sister. Let us do what? Lay aside. Which means you have some responsibility. There's something you have to do tonight. That thing that is in you, that thing that is causing the problem, you are the one that should lay it aside. The Word of God calls it the besetting sin. We should lay it aside. Spring cleaning. Is there any hatred in you? Is there any injury in you? Is there any bitterness and anger in you? Is there any confusion in you tonight? Idolatry and adultery and fornication. Any despair, any doubt, any darkness. Those are the things that the Word of God has been revealing to us. What do? We will let them go. We are going to lay them aside. Galatians 5, from 19 to 22, it says, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. This is not a popular teaching. People like to be told they are going to be blessed. People like to hear sermons that talks about the goodness of God, the blessings of God. But from everything we read in the book of Judges, we know that this is a prerequisite to our blessings. Before Gideon could achieve anything, he went and broke down his idols. This morning, or since yesterday, we've been reading. Before God gave Samuel victory at Ebenezer, he got rid of every junk in Israel. And in the month of spring cleaning, we are asking God to help us to get out every junk in us. We want to take this mess seriously. I want to plead with you, forgive everybody. Move from clutter to order. Let there be some order in your life. Remove the clutter in your heart. Remove the clutter in your thoughts. Remove the clutter in your home. Remove the clutter in your life. I just found myself writing this. I read it to you the other day. No more sloppy living. No more out of control living. My life shall be clean and in order. And there's no way it can come about except through what we are talking about tonight, obedience. You search your heart, review what you are doing, look for the areas of sin that has hindered your spiritual growth, and pray to God to remove them. I told you that if you repent, First John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. There's so much we could do. What do I tell you about David and Uriah moment? David tried to cover his sins. The more he tried to cover it, the deeper he got into it. The more he tried to cover, the more he got into it. You know, even on the computer, when you are working, at times it will freeze, or at times something will happen, and they'll tell you to refresh it. So I'm thinking that we should just stop, refresh, and God will give us new vision. He will renew it. But our own part is that we have to resolve to obey Him. Praise God. Praise God. I have so many scriptures I wanted to give you. And it's 8:44. Maybe I'll give you some of these scriptures and not explain them. You could still make something out of them. Because somebody quickly read us John 2:13-22. It's long, but it will help. John 2, just read from 13 down to 22.
John 2.
I'll just give you about three more scriptures. Yeah.
Verses 13-22. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I just close by telling you tonight, you are the temple of the living God. And if Jesus could turn around all those tables, threw away the tables of the money changers, because he wanted the temple of his Father to be clean, I still want to believe that he's still in the business of making the temple clean. He said that my house shall be called the house of prayer. He wants to make you you to become the temple, the tabernacle of God, where the Holy Spirit can dwell. And he's willing tonight to purge you. He's willing tonight to wash you clean of every filthiness. He walked into that tabernacle, and when he got out, it was no longer the same. And that's exactly what he wants to do for us. Let me just give you one more. Can somebody read Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Ooh, God bless you. I wish I had time to dissect this. There are certain things that God wants to see in the inside of us. Not bitterness. No matter what the world did to you, you can change that vowel I to E. Become better instead of being bitter. You know, we talk about the root of bitterness. When you walk around, you see trees. I promise you, you don't see all their roots. But what is coming up on the outside has to do with what is in the root. And why some of us cannot bear good fruit is because of the root. And when you are doing spring cleaning, we are starting from the heart. Let those roots, those things that are not good, be uprooted. And when the things that are good are planted on top, the right fruits will begin to come. Every root of bitterness, every root of unforgiveness, everything that has taken root in us that shouldn't be there, there's enough power on this line to uproot it tonight. I don't care what your spouse did to you. Tonight, let that root of bitterness be pulled out. Let allow God to be God. Let his house be called a house of prayer. I can go on and give you scriptures tonight. The scriptures can preach to you more than I can. Let's allow God to do a work in us. The word of God said that the remnants of Judah shall yet again take root, and they will bear fruit upwards. The fruit you bear depends on the root you have down. And when the root is wrong, you can never, never have the right fruit. If we still have time this month, we will still talk about physical spring cleaning. We'll still talk about environmental spring cleaning, which I think is very important. There are some of us who are pack rats, and there are things you're accumulating that you're not going anywhere with. There are things you've not used for the past 5 years. They're still there. And if you can only release it, it will bless the world, and it will give room for God to bless you. So let's keep that for another day. But for tonight, before we pray, is there anybody who has something to add or subtract or comment on or share? Is there anybody who was blessed? Was this useful to anybody? If you have a comment, you have the time to do it. Please don't tell me I wasted your hour.
Yeah, Doc. Good evening. How are you?
Okay, go ahead. Please say
thank you
day.
So much.
Did you learn anything tonight? Yeah.
This is awesome. This is awesome. It's really so great. I don't even know what to say. I couldn't read because I was taking so much notes. I didn't even finish my notes. But anyway, the question I just want to ask quickly. When you were talking about the five gates, you only gave two, and that's all you gave to that. Was that all?
No, there are five gates. That's a lesson for another day.
Oh, okay. You want to keep those? But okay, all right. I'm sorry. Okay.
We'll talk about the gates another day.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. I just want to make sure I didn't miss that.
You did.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you. God bless you. That was great.
And you too. Any other comments?
Yes, Sister Stafford, good evening.
Good evening, my sister.
Yes, can we agree that we can't clean ourselves? We would have to come to him for that cleaning. It's not something we can do on our own, and spring cleaning goes beyond what others can see or hear.
Okay, Sister Stafford, there are two parts to that. You have a part to play, and God has a part to play. Okay. You will resolve to give up those things. That was why we read Hebrews 12:1, where it says, let us lay aside.
Mm-hmm.
You first of all resolve to leave your evil ways, to turn. You will take a determination to do that. Then God will forgive the sins, and then give you power to live above them.
Okay.
So in spiritual spring cleaning, you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. One, you cooperate with the Holy Spirit to show you who you are. Then you make up your mind, the things you need to let go. And you ask for the grace for God to forgive you and give you the power to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Again, so.
Any other?
Can I chime in?
Why not? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Joy. One of the chilling things about the sin or dust or whatever we accumulate in our lives is that it starts very gradually.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even know it. It's a little joke today, then we get used to that. And we go to higher jokes that are even more serious. Whatever it is, whether it is gossiping, whether it is stealing, whether those who fall into adulterous relationships, they don't wake up one morning and say, oh, today I'm going to cheat on my husband. It starts with little chats, talking, little sitting down, having coffee, little joking, pushing, holding of hands, and you get used to holding of hands, and they put a hand on your neck. And you get used to that, and it's going to lunch, and it's going to dinner. The last thing you know is like, how did I get here? The same thing with those who are on drugs. They never one day become drug addicts. It's a little nick of needle here, a little nick there, and stronger drugs, no longer immune. Just look at the virus we are dealing with this year. It has mutated so much that the vaccines we have can't even take care of the bacteria anymore. It's the same thing spiritually that you were telling us tonight. It gives me chills. It makes me think, dear God, help me not to take anything as little. I'd rather err on the side of righteousness.
Caution. Yeah.
To be on the side of sin.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much tonight, but let me just keep quiet here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much. That's powerful. We are thinking of the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Uppermost in my mind is the way we name things. Somebody is gossiping, but you say, oh, I was just sharing prayer topics. Oh, no, I was just sharing information, telling them what to pray for. But underneath it is what? Gossip. There's a God that searches the heart and the reins. There's a God that knows the motive for everything we're doing. Praise God. Let's hear from one more person and we'll pray. Anybody?
Ruthie.
Yes.
You differentiated between the mouth, the heart being the reservoir for what comes out of the mouth.
Yes.
And then at the end, you talked about also us having the right root down below.
Yes.
In order for us to bear total fruit.
Yes.
So you're talking in essence about one of the fruit, the very important things that comes from our mouth. That's one of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another fruit in totality that is ingrained in the root, us being planted deep down in the soil of righteousness and holiness. Can you just correlate the two?
No, if I'm to correlate it, I'll tell you that the root is the heart.
Okay.
The root is the heart. What is in the heart will bring forth the fruit. The root is in the heart, and the fruit should be in the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. The root, no matter how tender it is the one that pierces the ground to get the nutrients. They will tell you how it will travel through the stem and go to the leaves. It will tell you about the green of the chlorophyll and the sunshine that will make up to begin to give you the food and the fruits and the rest of them. But it all started in the root. So it starts the root. In this, the correlation will be that the root will be the heart. If we can guard our heart jealously, if we can guard our heart well, we will study the lesson on the five gates very soon. It will help us. If we begin to know the things we are feeling, and we know what we are allowing to go into us, just when you begin to think of those senses, it will help you to guard your heart jealously, and it will affect the fruit. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this night, O Lord. Father, we thank you because I believe that the Holy Spirit knows a way to organize this, the teaching. Father, I know you can organize it much, much more than any of us can. But Lord, my prayer, my earnest prayer is that all these families cannot come out to waste an hour. Lord, I believe that you will leave something in our spirit that can help us in this month of spiritual spring cleaning. That by the end of the month, we can look back and say, hitherto has the Lord helped us. Father, we thank you for what you've done this evening. We thank you for these lessons. And we believe that you are going to have results. Father, tonight, there's a family. They don't even belong to our prayer line. They called today that their 27-year-old daughter with brain tumor is not doing well in the hospital. I prayed with them, and I promised them that the tribe will pray for them. They said they are looking forward to a miracle, that they are believing God for a miracle, and a sister on this line asked them to call me. I don't do miracles. You are the only God who can give this family a miracle tonight.
Yes.
Father, how we do pray that you will arise.
Yes, God.
Lord, how we do cry unto you tonight to make a name for yourself. Father, how we do pray that this lady will begin to mend. Father, the prayer of the saints, the prayer of this life, is that you look towards them tonight. Father, that faith that made them start looking for prayers. Lord, we ask that you honor it.
Amen.
We know that wherever you see faith, you will stop. And Lord, we are joining our faith together tonight to believe that there's no condition that is beyond you. If you can cause the dead to come back to life, you did it for us last month, a man in coma. We called you and he got up. Do it again, O Lord. Do it again, O Lord. Do it again, O Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, one of our own, our sister, says she's physically challenged, that she's having chills, aches, tiredness, coughing, whatever. We want to curse it from the root tonight. We want to ask that the healing virtues of Christ will fall upon you even as we pray. We want to ask that there will be a touch in your body. We thank you because by your stripes we are healed, O Lord.
Yes.
Father, raise your daughter. Let there be a fresh testimony ringing through this line. Thank you, Lord. We call it done, O Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Take all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name,
oh,
we have
Father.
Prayed.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank
have
you.
Have a good night.